Yo, yo! Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. A deadline, so we think, of Friday for the Lamar Jackson contract. If he does not get an extension, he's not going to negotiate in season from what we are led to believe. The Baltimore Ravens do kick off their campaign up against the JTS Jets without the MILF Hunter. And Zach Wilson is going to be out for at least the first 3 weeks of the season per Robert Saleh, and it's Joe Flacco. How about that? Say it ain't so, Joe. Joe Flacco up against the Baltimore Ravens. It's kind of crazy. Not that Joe Flacco is a backup quarterback in this league, but now that he's going to be starting against his old team, where at one point, some may say he was elite. Big week one storyline there, hot take, Hickey. Joe Flacco against the Ravens. The return of Joe Flacco.
And I wonder if there's no contract done for Lamar.
Stop it.
Maybe after the game, they'll switch locker rooms. Joe will take it back. Jets, here's Lamar. Remember, we got to get our elite quarterback back.
Man, when was the last time Joe Flacco was good?
I mean, honestly, the Super Bowl of 2012?
Yeah, 2014 he had a solid year.
What did he do that year?
27 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Okay, not bad.
Solid.
Back, you know, it's crazy, not even a decade ago, but back then, 27 touchdowns is pretty solid.
3,986 passing yards, that's pretty
okay,
good.
That's pretty solid, okay.
2016, I had a lot of picks, but he threw for 4,300 yards. Yeah, man, it's been crazy. I'll never forget, I had a heated conversation. I was filling in for Pharrell when Pharrell was hosting here. Pharrell on the bench, shake it up. But I was filling in for Pharrell, and I had Jim Nantz on, who's become a friend of the show. Jim always comes on. And Jim really thought that Joe Flacco was going to succeed in Denver. He was believing in Joe Flacco in Denver because he looked at Joe Flacco at the end in Baltimore, and he goes, Zach, who are the wide receivers? And it was a fair point that he brings up, but I never, when you saw someone be for three straight years, I never thought he was going to go to Denver, which at the time, if you were a quarterback and you wanted to end your career and just be out of the league, that's what you did go to. Because after Peyton Manning walked away, that's the decision-making by John Elway, one of the all-time greats, was absolutely brutal when you go through all the failed decisions that he made. And once it failed in Denver, I never thought he was ever going to play again in the league. I thought that was it. Now, it just shows you how long guys can hang around in the league. Matt Schaub was a backup quarterback for all those years in Atlanta. You look at Johnson. What has he been on 9,000 teams? Josh Johnson in like 10 years in the league. He went 6 years without taking a snap as a starter. And then he was starting games for the Commanders, the Washington football team, whatever they were called when he was taking snaps. But for Joe Flacco, the fact that it's the year of 2022 and this dude starting up against the Baltimore Ravens is bonkers. Is that a potential? Let me just ask you this. I don't think so. I'm going to hammer. I don't know what the number is because it was taken off the board as they were waiting to see what was going to happen with Zach Wilson. But don't you got to hammer whatever that number is in favor of the Baltimore Ravens? The Jets, they're starting a statue at quarterback and Joe Flacco. I don't care what Robert Saleh said 3-4 weeks ago. He could still be a starting quarterback in this league. Bull crap. He's not a starter in this league. Is this potential revenge for Joe Flacco? Is this upset alert?
No. If it is, cancel the Ravens.
Yeah.
Cancel the Ravens. If you are on Lamar's an MVP, if you're on the Ravens for winning the AFC North or being Super Bowl contender, drop it all. I don't know if it's too late to, you know, call Vegas up or, you know, change your picks around, but man, that is bad news.
Potential upset alerts for week one. Just give me yes or no. I'm not considering the Rams beating the Bills an upset, even though it is in the Vegas world. They're a 2.5-point underdog. I personally would
Buffalo
lay the number on the Rams.
In a Super Bowl or bust, you are an upset alert week one. Oh, boy.
Falcons, Saints. Falcons potential upset week one?
No.
Unless if Jameis just throws the rock to the other team 3 or 4 times. Browns and Panthers, I don't consider that an upset either way.
Even. I would say pretty even, right?
Bears beating the 49ers would be an upset. I just don't see how it's possible. Even though there's an uncertainty with Trey Lance, if Trey Lance listens to the Bears, fire everyone in San Francisco.
And you could probably win that game without starting a quarterback. Just play 10 on offense and see what happens.
I have advocated just having Trey Lance start the entire year unless there is an injury. If Trey Lance loses week one to the Bears, I will quickly do a 180, put Jimmy Garoppolo in.
We have big time problems.
Steelers beating the Bengals would be an upset. Can you envision it? Mitch Trubisky shutting the bloviating talk show host up on CBS Sports Radio in week one of the jungle.
Good defense for Pittsburgh. I will still say no. No upset.
Hard knocks darlings, the Lions. Can they upset the Eagles in week one?
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes.
That's only a 4-point spread, by the way. So Vegas, I think, believes something is funky. If the Eagles lose to the Lions, I would be shocked, though. Give me your rationale on this.
I think the Eagles are a little overhyped, and I think the Lions are better than expected. Like, the Lions are...
Jared Goff stinks.
He stinks. Okay, I
like
Amon-Ra
St. Brown. I like Hockenson.
I don't want to get nuts here. The last five games of Jared Goff's season last year, because he missed a few with injury, he actually played pretty well. He had like an over 100 passer rating. I forget his touchdown interception ratio. It was like 10 to 2.
Well, I would actually get into heated debates about this with Jody Mack on Iron Football, because Jody would say, What's that record? And I would say, yeah, the record's not good. But they were in a lot of close games last year.
They came, you know, and they started winning.
That stinks.
They started winning those close games down the stretch. I mean, look.
Yeah, I can't give a lot of credit for beating Green Bay in the final game of the season.
No, fair. But they were 2-3 then. They did, and killed them. They beat the Vikings last year. I think that was their first win of the year, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they tied the Steelers, which are a playoff team. Like, they were in a lot of games. So I could absolutely see this continuing over year two with more continuity, getting a little bit better. And this is an Eagles team again. I still have questions about. They've been, everyone's, I would say dark horse pick is now when some people pick you, it's starting to be a dark horse. But
I really started a trend there.
That's a team that people like, going deep into the playoffs. Like, deep.
You know what? I don't really think so. The way that I think people are viewing the Eagles, and are there going to be people that say they're going to the NFC Championship game, and there are going to be some Super Bowl picks? Yes. I don't think that's realistic for them to be in the Super Bowl. Like, if the Eagles played in the AFC, no one's picking the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl this year. You're going to have some funky predictions in the NFC, because when people make picks, people just don't like to go with the chalk all the time. And not everyone likes to go with the Bucs. Not everyone likes to go with the Rams. Not everyone likes to go with the Packers. And then it comes to who's the fourth best team in the NFC. If it's not crazy to say Philly. But my expectation just for Philly this year is to win the NFC East and then really nothing else after that. If you're thinking the Eagles are winning two playoff games this year, I know they have a good roster. I still have a tough time believing that they're going to win two playoff games with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback. But they have a really good roster. All right, other potential upsets. Would the Patriots be an upset against the Dolphins? Because everyone's trashing the Pats this offseason. I still view those teams very similarly, though. I would not consider that a major upset, even though the Pats, to open up the year, are a 3.5-point dog in Miami, where Bill Belichick is there starting yesterday to prepare for this game with his entire football team. Would that be an upset to you?
It would not be a major one, no. I think I still have too many questions with Miami.
Holy smokes. The Ravens are only a 7-point favorite against the Jets? Only a 7-point favorite. Don't you have to lay the points big time with the Ravens? Or are you afraid of a little backdoor cover?
I could see Joe Flacco sucking, and all of a sudden, here he comes, marching down the field, 2-minute drill.
Down 28-7, Joe Flacco pulled off 3 unanswered touchdown drives.
Missed the extra point, those 28-27.
Then you get a push. That'd be a bad push.
You were all right. That's very low.
It's low. And Zach Wilson was playing, like a 5.5-point spread, maybe 4?
And here's some reports at a training camp. Joe Flacco is looking better than Zach Wilson at times.
Yeah, stop it. So Jaguars, Commanders, that's not an upset either way. Commanders are a better football team, but the Jaguars win week one, I wouldn't be shocked. Browns, Panthers, we said that's a wash. Colts and Texans? Texans win, that's a big-time upset. What do you think the spread is on that?
7.5.
Seven.
Yeah, that's about right. Division game. Colts haven't won since 2013 on the road.
Oh, stop.
Have not won an opener since 2013.
Stop. Stop giving me these bad stats.
But it's a real stat. What do you say? It's not a bad stat.
Stats are for losers, in the words of Bill Belichick.
The Colts have not won a season opener since 2013.
Okay. Are you worried? Are you worried?
Remember, are you worried? I feel like this is deja vu. I was sitting here, Zach, week 18, it's not a lock. No. They have not won in Jacksonville since 2014.
And you're concerned about the Colts start of the season. You made that clear. You ditched hanging out with your girlfriend in order to watch a meaningless Colts preseason game because you thought it was so important going up against Tampa in the preseason. Are you worried about the Texans?
85% confident. I should be about 99% confident.
Can I
at 85.
Get the old hickey back? I actually missed a delusional hickey. Where you would just be saying, actually, maybe you are delusional still. If you're not, you got to be 98%. You're going up against the Texans.
I agree. This is the same. This is a Colts team that lost to the Jaguars in 2020, who had 1-15.
That.
1-15 in 2020. The only win was week one.
That's
with
impressive.
Philip Rivers. So this hex is stronger than even my, we'll say, hot takes just for, you know,
well, it's reality.
This segment.
You're Mr. Hot Take.
But again, they should win. No, that would be a big time upset.
Giants beating Tennessee would be a big upset.
Let's go Giants. Brian Daboll, send a message. But yes, big upset.
Packers, Vikings. This spread's only Green Bay 1.5. Since that's an intra-division game, and I think the Vikings are a really good team. Actually, let me rephrase that. I think the Vikings in the NFC are a good team. And then in the AFC, I'm not picking them to make the playoffs. There's a lot of offensive firepower. The over is 47. I'd hammer the over in that game. That would be the play for me. It would be a mild upset, but I don't think it's a stunner.
I would say surprise, but I wouldn't know if I don't think surprise is strong enough to like declare as an upset. Because I got questions about the Packers.
Chiefs and Cardinals. I know the Cardinals on paper are a good team, but no DeAndre Hopkins. I'd be surprised if the Cardinals win that game.
Is that in the desert?
Yes.
I would be surprised. Upset.
Raiders, Chargers, flip of a coin. Bucks, Cowboys. I lean towards the Bucks in that game, but I think it's a flip of the coin.
Yeah.
Now, here would be the biggest upset, maybe, of them all.
Yes. Yes.
Broncos take down the Seahawks week one.
That's a big upset. The Broncos win.
You know what? Vegas thinks, oh, wow, this is 6.5 is this spread. That should be more. It should be. I know it's week one. I know the Seahawks are home and it's at you're starting Geno Smith. Broncos are only 6.5-point favorite. That's rough.
I would agree. I mean, I think Vegas is smartly trying to maybe play it safe with all, you know, week one and a lot of question marks for a lot of these teams.
Well, Vegas is telling you that they think more of the Seahawks than the Texans. Texans are 7-point dog up against the Colts. Now, the Texans are not a good team. The Seahawks obviously stink, but so I thought that'd be a little bit more.
Maybe they think Russ is going to get too emotional. That where he can't cook.
Give me a break.
You know, his tears going to be putting out the lamps, the gas lamps, you know, on the stove.
Is there any way you could envision the Seahawks winning?
No.
The only way I could envision the Seahawks winning is if Russell Wilson gets hurt. That's the only way.
Is that part of the game plan? Bounty gate back?
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad. Let's hear from Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson says Friday will be the deadline for a contract negotiation.
As of right now, you know, we're still talking. You know, the week's not over yet, but soon, probably be a deadline, probably be cut off after this week. Kickoff, I would not be talking about a contract. I'm thinking straight Jets around kickoff time.
Well, as far as a deadline in your mind?
The end of this week, Friday.
And let's also hear from Lamar say he doesn't believe he's taking a big risk in playing this season without a long-term deal.
It was a pretty big risk last season, the year before. You know, I wasn't thinking about contract negotiations around that time. You know, this season is going to be the same thing. But, you know, I'm just playing football. You know, anything can happen, but God forbid, the wrong thing happen. You know, I'm keeping God first and just playing ball.
I don't think he's getting a deal done. Hickey, you were more so wishful thinking because you just don't want to have this conversation anymore. With him saying they're still talking, Is that why also you have some optimism other than you just saying, yeah, I want this conversation to be over with?
No, I do think it's there's some wishful thing, but I think more of it is just like logic. Like, they're still talking. And again, the Ravens all offseason, they're putting out this message, we want to talk to Lamar, he's not talking to us. Well, now Lamar is multiple times now has said, we're talking. So there's for me, I don't think there's any excuse now for the Ravens not to get a deal done. I think it's happening.
Well, the only excuse would be he still wants a guaranteed deal. They're still talking, and he's trying to see how close to a guaranteed deal he could get to. That's he's going to have record-breaking guaranteed money if it's not fully guaranteed. Now, outside of the Watson contract, because that's $230 million guaranteed. Whoever has the most guaranteed money in the NFL after that, I would think he's going to have to top that in order to get this deal done if he's not going to get a fully guaranteed contract.
I believe it's Kyler at 189.
Yeah, so he's going to have to get 189.5 or 190.
190? Would you do that? 190 guaranteed.
I think he's a better quarterback than Kyler Murray.
I'd agree.
And where are you going if you're the Ravens? If you're not going to give Lamar what he wants, someone else will. Where are you going? Your entire offense is centered around this guy. Now, can you change your offensive philosophy? Yes, but that also banks on you getting the next right quarterback. And that just doesn't always happen overnight. So if you miss on one, or if you get a guy and you only see his ceiling being good, there's always going to be those comparisons out there of, wow, we let Lamar walk when we just got cheap and we could have paid him. That's, to me, the odds of you finding someone better than Lamar are slim.
And the odds of you getting a cheaper deal than you would right now are also slim. It's possible, but...
Unless you draft a quarterback, you trade up aggressively in the draft, and you're banking on that guy to be the next great thing, but then 3-4 years from now, you're in the same boat you're in right now.
We've seen plenty of teams swing and miss. It's tough. It's really tough to get a quarterback.
Like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, you would think are going to get paid next offseason. This is their third year entering in the league. You would think the Bengals and the Chargers could do everything in their power to get a deal done now because those prices are only going to soar into the future. They're only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because that's what happens every year at the quarterback position. Now, I think those two guys are great quarterbacks in Burrow and in Herbert, but how many times do we see an quarterback or just a good quarterback get paid great money and that disrupts the entire market? I hope a deal gets done by Friday. I'd just be very surprised because there hasn't been a lot of positive things being said about these contract negotiations. It is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Take Five is back. I give you my top five teams in the NFL, my top five teams in college football after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Take Five is back. Let's get to it.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Ready to throw some punches here? Ready to compile some rankings? I just got to know first, hot take, Hickey. I'll give you the honor. Should I go NFL or college football?
College football started first last weekend, so let's start first here.
Okie dokie. In at number five, the Anthony Richardson show was unbelievable. Three rushing touchdowns, over 100 rushing yards. Tough game this weekend in the swamp upcoming for Florida up against Kentucky. But to win that game and get that pick at the end, it shows both sides of the ball are playing really well against a good Utah team, well coached by Kyle Whittingham, good young quarterback, or good quarterback play from Cam Rising. But Anthony Richardson has really jumped into the national spotlight now. Last year, they went with Emory Jones. Now, new coach, you fully handed the keys to the franchise down in the swamp. 2-1 Anthony Richardson, and you had people like Harry Douglas join this show yesterday and say that he's athletically and mechanically better than Cam, and he guarantees that'll be a top 10 pick, and that was some sentiments that were echoed by many other voices that are authoritative voices in college football that they believe he'll be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I have Florida as the fifth best team in the country right now. Remember, these rankings are right now from what I've seen. Number four. Well, you knew it wasn't going to be a problem. But I don't like this quarterback controversy. I do believe the defending Big Ten champs right now, Michigan, are the fourth best team in the country. With that being said, I don't like that Jim Harbaugh is waiting and waiting and waiting to hand the keys to the Ferrari over to J.J. McCarthy. It is clear, crystal clear to me, that Cade McNamara is not a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. We know it's going to be J.J. to start this week. When does he permanently start? That is the question. By that UConn game, I'd make him the permanent starter. They're going to destroy Hawaii, though, this weekend. I saw the spread on that this morning. It was 51.5, 52 points. Man. Hawaii, absolutely brutal. But you look at their schedule. They just beat Colorado State 51-7. They play Hawaii, UConn, Maryland, Iowa, Indiana, Penn State, Michigan State, Rutgers, Nebraska, Illinois before Ohio State. Now, we know Michigan State has been a pain in the ass for Harbaugh. Penn State, Michigan, usually a good game. Iowa is always a tough team. They should be undefeated before that Ohio State game. Michigan in at four. Number three. It wasn't a great performance against Notre Dame, but C.J. Stroud was great when he needed to be to go secure the victory. I love what Ohio State has on the offensive side of the ball. The receivers are unbelievable. We know C.J. Stroud could be the best quarterback, could be the best quarterback in the country. He'll be a Heisman finalist. Defensively, it's going to be a work in progress. New defensive coordinator Jim Knowles did a nice job, though, up against Notre Dame. Ohio State in at number three. Number two. This is where it gets fun. I'm not going to pick against this team until they go down. But last year does matter when you get into tiebreakers this early in the season. Alabama, though, this year played a nobody last week, and we know that they blew him out. You have the best coach in the country, who I think is the best quarterback in the country, and you have the best defensive player in the country. Alabama, Georgia. Let's see it. Let's get to it in that SEC title game. But right now, I put the Alabama Crimson Tide in at number two. And the number one, they were the most impressive team last year. And to start the season, they had the most impressive performance in week one. Not taking anything away from Florida's performance up against Utah. You were going up against the 11th ranked team in the country in Oregon, and you smacked them 49-3. Stetson Bennett said bleep you to all the haters. Defense, after losing nine starters, still an unbelievable unit. And Kirby Smart is one heck of a football coach. So those are my top five teams in the country. Georgia in at number one. And when you look at the top five, I have Florida in at five, Michigan four, Ohio State three, Alabama two, Georgia in at number one. Hot take, Hickey. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Now, we did get on Clemson this early this week, but they did win and they won 41-10. Top five?
No. Defensively, they're a top five defense. I'm concerned about that offense. You're going up against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech stinks. And that line was problematic. The receivers were problematic. And the quarterback was problematic. Right now, I'm just not loving Clemson. Especially in a conference that's not all that great in the ACC. Anyone else?
One other one. Now, they didn't play anyone of note, but it was Rice. And in Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison, Lincoln Riley, they looked good. How come the Trojans not a top five team right now?
Need to see more. It's year one for a head coach in Lincoln Riley who was great at Oklahoma. I know Caleb Williams is there with him. He moved over. Addison was phenomenal at Pitt. I just got to see more from them before I start to plant a flag into the ground and say they're a top five team in college football. I thought you were going to mention Texas A&M since I went with an SEC school, three SEC schools, and the last one was Florida instead of it being A&M.
I know they're right there, what, six? But it was ho-hum, and I just, you know, try to go a little more sex appeal.
I trust their quarterback also more, Anthony Richardson.
For Florida. Yes.
Okay. Let's get to the NFL. In at number five, I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to have a monster season. I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West. I love me some Justin Herbert. I love me some Austin Eckler. I love me some Keenan Allen. And as Ari Mirov said, Brandon Staley inherited a defense last year. That guy made his teeth in college in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. Last year, defensively, the worst run defense in the league. They patched up the holes on that defense. There's no excuses now. I put the Chargers in at number five. Number four, shame on you if you're one of those morons in the media or you're a fan that haven't learned your lesson about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is one of one. We've never seen anything like Tom Brady. If you're going to doubt him and say he's not all in because he missed 11 days of training camp, I don't care. You could have concerns about that offensive line, but as long as TB12 is there getting that ball out quickly with all the weapons that they have, Gronk may be coming back later in the year. You have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin now healthy, which is crazy how quickly he did recover. Tampa Bay is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They're going to be one of the better teams in the NFC. They're in at four. Number three. This team got to the Super Bowl last year. They got to the Super Bowl last year with no offensive line. Zach Taylor has another year. Defense played well down the stretch. They made Patrick Mahomes look bad, and we know he is a phenomenal quarterback in that second half of that AFC title game. Joe Burrow's a stud. Jamar Chase is a stud. T. Higgins is a stud. Tyler Boyd's really good. You lose C.J. Uzomah, but you can't keep everyone. I like Joe Mixon as a running back as well, but the most important thing, the Bengals patched up their offensive line. They bring in Lyle Collins. They bring in Alex Kappa. They bring in Ted Karras. That team got better this offseason. Bengals in at number three. Two, the Buffalo Bills. They have the best roster in football. Anything short of winning it all this year is a disaster. It's a failure for the Buffalo Bills with how they've been knocking on the door recently. No excuses. You brought in Super Bowl experience of Von Miller. You have Josh Allen. I like Gabe Davis. Stephon Diggs is a stud. James Cook, I thought, was a very good draft pick as well. Devin Motor Singletary played better at the end of last season. Now he has to bring everything together. You won't have J.R. Alexander. You won't have Trey White to start, but you will get him back. It's a heck of a football team. And then number one, tip of the cap to the defending champs. Aaron Donald may not want to answer my questions about why he was swinging a helmet, but he's still the most feared player on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL. And you have Jalen Ramsey. You know, isn't that crazy? Aaron Donald needed a PR person to get through Zach Gelb. But then he goes up against these large offensive linemen and he doesn't need anyone's help. I think Aaron Donald, Ryan, was more intimidated by me than any offensive lineman in the NFL.
Feather in your cap right there. Put that in your Twitter bio. AD, scared of me. Until he comes after you. Next time the Rams are in town.
One scared SOB of yours truly. They bring in Bobby Wagner. You have Jalen Ramsey. Allen Robinson. Maybe Odell coming back. I like Cam Akers. You have maybe the best wide receiver in football in Cooper Kupp. And now Matthew Stafford could be comfortable on this brand new team with the Rams. And he has a year already under his belt. And he won a Super Bowl. Some concerns on the line. You don't have Whitworth anymore. But I think the Rams right now in this season are the best team and number one in my ranking. So five Chargers, four Bucks, three Bengals, two Bills, one the LA Rams. Hot take, Hickey, speak now, forever hold your peace.
This team has been a Final Four team each of the last 4 years.
Yep.
The Chiefs are not in your top five. Why is that?
Yeah, I thought about it. It was tough to leave them out. They're going to be a tough outcome playoff time. The reasoning behind that, I think the Bucks are better than Kansas City. The Chargers I have winning the AFC West, so I can't tell you the Chiefs are in front of the Chargers. Bengals beat them twice last year. Bills, I just think, are a better team entering this year. And the Rams are the defending Super Bowl champs. That's why I leave Kansas sitting outside looking in. They're still going to be a double-digit win team. They're still going to be a playoff team. But right now, I have them just on the outside of my top five.
This team is a Final Four team 3 years in a row with the two-time reigning MVP. No love for the Packers. Why is that?
I think the AFC is better. So I'm going to lean more towards three AFC teams compared to two NFC teams. I think the Packers are the third best team in the NFC. Brady up against Rodgers, I trust Brady more. And the Rams are just a better team than the Green Bay Packers. That's the way that I look at it right now. Now, you know what's crazy? I have my Super Bowl prediction for tomorrow that I've been tossing and turning over. The two teams I'm predicting to go to the Super Bowl are not in my top five.
Wow. Wow.
if I stay true to that right now, the two teams that I have going to the Super Bowl this year are not in my top five right now. You know what they say?
Colts Commanders Super Bowl, baby. Lock it up.
Funny, but that's not what I was going to say. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish.
Well, that's true.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Colts Commanders.
I'm technically not wrong. Or I have a chance to be right, I should say, when we get the revealed big tomorrow.
If that was the Super Bowl, I'd have to root for the Commanders.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to quit the show or something like that. Quit your career.
Yeah, I don't need to go to Phoenix this year, Spike, if that's the Super Bowl. If
you'd root for
there,
Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I would.
That is so messed up, by the way. Absurd.
Let me rephrase that. I would be rooting for Ron Rivera.
You would be rooting for Carson.
And Terry McLaurin. And Chase Young.
I'll remember that.
Friend of the show, Chase Young. We were in his hotel room at the NFL draft in Las Vegas this past year. How could I not root for my guy instead of
the guy you look at every single day?
I don't look at Jim Irsay. You? I want to see your happiness in hockey. I want to see your happiness in baseball. Football. I want to see you be a miserable SOB in football season. Now, I'm happy Penn State won last week. Oh, that's going to be used as a drop. I'm happy Penn State though won last week because then we get to see the slow buildup of
here
you getting
we
all
go.
Back
yeah,
in.
I was going
to
say.
And then we just get to stab you. Boom. All the air out of the balloon.
Let me tell you this. You better beat the Steelers week two. Bill better have the best defensive game plan of his career.
Here's the thing. I don't think the Patriots are going to be great this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
It's not even about the Patriots this year. It's about Mitch Trubisky. If he just goes out there, three touchdowns.
I'm not going to lie.
300 yards.
I'm a little bit scared about that game.
That Monday, I will be here, I think, at 3 a.m. ready. Ready to go.
3 a.m.?
I'll be ready to go.
Jeez. Seems like I have some real estate in your head then.
Well, you know, after last year, I would love an opportunity.
Last year? I just told you the truth.
Oh, yeah. At week 18.
I just told you the truth.
Yep. Told the truth.
You put a camera in front of my face if the Patriots lose to the Steelers, you're going to need Aaron Donald's PR people to help you out. Because I'll be like Randy Johnson when he got brought into New York with the Yankees and all the paparazzi was around him.
Just I think I can hold my cameras own. Out of I'm the not way. Too worried.
Against me?
Yes. I'll be on such a high if Mitch goes for 303 touchdowns. It doesn't even matter.
303 touchdowns?
300 yards, three touchdowns.
Oh. You would be like a little fly. Bzzz, and I'd just be.
I don't think I'd feel any pain that day.
Oh, yeah, you would.
I don't think so. You would have walking
drunk,
on air.
You would have drunk strength. That's what it would be. You would think you're on an all-time high. You could beat up anyone in the world. You bring a camera in front of me. Won't be the first time a talk show host beats the crap out of his producer. Now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's happened before.
Do you have any names? And I know on TV, you know, some guests have attacked hosts.
Mike Missinelli once punched a producer, allegedly, when he was at Sports Radio 94.
Allegedly.
Uh-huh. He got fired for it.
Well, not so alleged, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, You better watch it. I got to call my agent, make sure my contract's guaranteed.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Hickey, I'm already in crisis management mode. Do you have any idea what I'm in crisis management mode about?
No idea.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I've made that abundantly clear on this very fine network.
Is it canceled?
No. I'm trying to prevent Thanksgiving from being canceled in the Gelb household. So we always do Thanksgiving at my grandma's. My sister is in Colorado. She's pregnant. She is due November 17th. I am the captain of the Gelb Thanksgiving lunch, late afternoon lunch. I sent an email out today. I know my sister's not going to be there because she'll have a baby for about a week then in Colorado. She's not going to fly in. It's not going to happen. My mom's going to be out there. And clearly your husband is going to be out there. My father's also going to be out there. Now, Bob Gelb is the keeper of the lasagna. He makes the lasagna. Turkey sucks. We do lasagna on Thanksgiving in the Gelb household. So I sent an email out today to my grandmother, my two uncles, and my dad, just laying out the Thanksgiving plan. It's September. I'm already thinking about Thanksgiving. Uncles, one coming up from Florida, in. Other making the short drive from New York, in. Grandma, in. I need this baby to be born on the 17th. Because I found out today, or earlier, I found out today that my niece or nephew, we don't know what the sex of the baby is yet. If the baby comes a little bit later, my dad has two flights on the return. The 22nd of November or the 29th of November. The 29th is after Thanksgiving. So I'm giving a stock up to my sister. Go ahead. And her husband. Could have maybe scheduled this a little bit better. But just to all good wishes to them. I need to speak good karma into the world so I don't get screwed out of Thanksgiving this way. Get that baby out the 15th, the 16th, 17th. Let's go. Got to have dad back on the 22nd so he can at least have the lasagna this year. Let's get some audio here. I'll go to a stock down. Let's hear Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel was on the Tell Me a Story I Don't Know podcast. This is what he had to say.
There are a lot of people in my business, George, who talk down to their audience. It's kind of like the approach of, I know everything, sit back and let me tell you what this is all about. Now, obviously there's an audience for those people, and that audience doesn't have the ability to think for itself. I am not a big fan of sports talk radio because people who listen to sports talk radio strike me as being anxious to be told what to think. And I don't need someone yelling at me. I certainly don't need them yelling at me, but I don't need anyone trying to tell me what I should think about this pitcher for the California Angels, whom I can watch and for myself and make my own judgments. But there apparently is a huge audience for sports talk radio. Now, if you're just tuning in to hear people argue and scream and shout, that's fine. Good luck to you. Good luck in your early grave. Because I think it's the most ridiculous thing on the planet.
You know what's funny? He thinks people in sports talk radio talk down to the audience. It's ironic to me. I thought he was talking down to the audience there, that he's better than sports talk radio. This is from Barrett Sports Media. Steve Summers, longtime radio host, was once talking about Greg Gumbel, and he said all he did was read Wire copy. It was the worst version of a morning show you could have ever heard anywhere, let alone in New York City, Summers said of Gumbel. Nothing, he was hired by WFAN because of his name. Summers made sure to add he has no issues with Greg's brother, Brian Gumbel, the intelligent one in the family. You know what, Greg Gumbel? I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm not going to tell you my opinion's right, your opinion's wrong. I think you're a little salty there. Stock down, Greg Gumbel. Jerry Seinfeld's not a fan of the trumpets for the Mets. Ironic. A comedian, a legendary comedian, not wanting people to laugh and have fun. Stock down to Jerry Seinfeld not liking the trumpets being brought by Timmy Trumpet to Citi Field and celebrating. Hey, come on. People are just having fun. It's a great Edwin Diaz walk-in, so that's a bad job by Jerry Seinfeld. Stock up to Pat McAfee. Go ahead. Name a job in sports media that Pat McAfee doesn't have. He is now adding to his resume. He's going to be full-time on College Game Day starting this weekend. Alabama up against Texas. Francis Tiafoe became the first American that plays in men's tennis to reach the U.S. Open semifinal since 2006 with a victory today. Give Francis Tiafoe a stock up. And finally, I'm giving a stock up to Anthony Richardson. We're not going to have time to get to this audio by Harry Douglas. I played it for you yesterday when you heard it, and we played it for it again today. He had an unbelievable performance up against Utah, and it seems like everyone's buying into this Anthony Richardson hype. Big game up against Kentucky this week, but people are talking about him being a top 10 pick in the draft. I can't wait to see what happens with Florida the rest of the way. Stock up to Anthony Richardson and Florida football. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Fun show today. Big thanks to Chris Doering for stopping by. I always appreciate the college football conversation. Ari Mayrov from My Sports Update, who does a great job covering the NFL for Pro Football Focus. We'll be back tomorrow. I will tell you which 14 teams will make the NFL postseason, and I will give you my Super Bowl prediction, and we got a game to talk about. Bills, Rams, starts tomorrow. The mayhem starts tomorrow. Football, NFL football is back. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey, each and every one of you. We can't do it without you. Talk manana, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye, Zach Gilb Show. Talk manana.